Let's bring in Danny West of hogsports.com. Danny, good afternoon.
Afternoon, gentlemen. How are y'all doing?
Well, we're doing all right. We're discussing, I guess, the Ed O'Bannon case and EA Sports, and it's come out today in that trial where EA Electronic Arts actually had a spreadsheet that had names, numbers, teams, and when they finally got to the game, they would just take the names off the back of the player.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know about that, man. I think I've always said, you know, give each kid, no matter the sport, give them a couple hundred, few hundred a month. I guarantee you they'll appreciate it. You know,
no, there's no doubt they would appreciate it.
And I don't think they would put up a big fuss about it. But I will tell you this. I've been listening to you guys today. I talked to a former player, and I don't mind telling you who it was, Kiaro Small, here about a month, month and a half ago. It was right before he got drafted. And I asked him, you know, do you think college athletes should be paid? And I was fully expecting him to say, because he's from Baltimore and not really the nice part of town, you know, he's from Baltimore. And I was expecting him to say, yeah, we ought to be paid something. But Kiaro told me, hey, they've paid for my education. They've given me three meals a day for 2-3 years. They've put clothes on my back in terms of athletic equipment and gear and whatnot. And they've taken me to places that I never would have been able to see by myself if not for this scholarship. So I feel like I've been paid enough. And I think you'd be surprised by how many kids see it that way. So I think sometimes it feels like every one of these kids is sitting there asking for money, which I don't think that's the case right now.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with you on that. Let's head to Kevin in Hot Springs. Kevin, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime. Kevin's gone. Let's try Micah in Conway. Micah.
Hey, how's it going, Trey?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. I was just going to comment on the NBA Finals. I've been a Spurs fan pretty much my whole life. I have an aunt and uncle that live in San Antonio, and they always send me a championship T-shirt every time they win. But it's kind of sad because I feel like people are, you know, a lot of people I work with are like, oh yeah, the Spurs, da da da. You know, they're winning, and I feel like when I was in high school and they were winning championships, they didn't get recognized as much. Everybody's like, oh, they're slow and boring, and now it's like everybody is on this Spurs bandwagon because they hate LeBron. And you know, I've wondered for, you know, a couple years now, why do people hate LeBron so much? If all he did was the decision, that's not that bad. It, you know, he's not, you know, cheating on his wife like Jordan. Here's why people hate LeBron, because he threatens Michael Jordan's legacy. And we love MJ, and we don't want, you know, some guy coming in, oh, well, you know, you want to say he's arrogant? Look at Shaq. Shaq is nobody promotes himself more than Shaq, you know, but he doesn't threaten MJ's legacy.
I'm with you. I think you kind of hit it right on, saying why people like the Spurs now is because of the dislike for LeBron, which doesn't make any sense because LeBron is clearly the best player in the game right now. And you can't – nobody can make a point and say somebody else is better than LeBron right now. It's not even close that he's the best player. But I don't know if it's a jealousy or for what, but you're right. He's done just about everything the right way. He doesn't get in trouble. And he's a facilitator. He's a giver. He's not the guy. I mean, he could shoot it 35 times a game, and you really couldn't even argue with that if he wanted to. Mm-hmm. But instead, he goes out and tries to get 8 assists a game.
Right. I think, you know, when you look at LeBron, it's like his game is so much like magic. And then you look at Kobe, he looks just like Jordan, like just like him.
LeBron's game is exactly – he's like Magic Johnson with the athletic ability of Dominique Wilkins. That's how I've always thought of LeBron since he's came in the league, was Magic Johnson with the athletic ability of Dominique Wilkins and then a little bit of Dr. J in there. I mean, we haven't seen anything like him.
I also
and he's
feel
built
like
Karl Malone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, people look at, you know, how this is how good LeBron is. He's the best player in the league. The next one, Kevin Durant, he was the third best player on his team against the Spurs. Like, Ibaka came in, he made a difference. They couldn't guard Westbrook.
Well, but KD was the MVP of the league.
But against the Spurs, you know, he was the third best player on his team.
What I would say is the gap, it's not as close as I think most people think when you say LeBron James, best player in the world, Kevin Durant's too. I think that gap's a lot larger than what people think, that it's really the gap is closer between 2 and 3 than it is 1 and 2.
Yeah. You know, LeBron, people don't realize, like, when he was on the Cavs, you take him off that finals team, that's the worst finals team ever.
Well, and yeah, but Spurs. Okay, you take Michael Jordan off the Bulls, they're not going to be that good either.
Well,
the second year when Jordan left, the Bulls were still like a 3 seed though in the East. I mean, they had a lot more talent. That Cleveland team, he's right. Larry Hughes is second best player. Eric Snow.
Everybody that wins a championship has a superstar somewhere.
I would say that Philadelphia team with Allen Iverson might be the worst team though. Other than that. AI, he's one of my favorite players. He might be my favorite player under 6 foot to ever play, but that team might be the worst team to make it to an NBA Finals.
Danny, Razorback recruiting, it's summertime.
Yeah.
They've had some camps, and they just finished up an elite camp up in Fayetteville. Talk about some of the elite players that were there.
Well, I think when people hear those words, elite prospect camp, I think you automatically assume it's like Alabama and Auburn have it down there, where you walk out there and see nothing but 5 stars. But it wasn't the case yesterday, and I'm not sure it will ever be the case at Fayetteville. But they did have some good talent, a lot of 2016 kids. There were a couple of surprises. I think one of them was wide receiver Brandon Singleton. He's a receiver out of southwest of New Orleans, so he's pretty far away. He came up here as a 2-star prospect. I think he's got 5 small offers. I think Monroe might be his best offer so far. 6'1", 170 guy. He came up here and ran a 4.46 handheld. And then yesterday afternoon, he went out there and just tore it up in 7-on-7 sessions. High Story found him for several touchdowns and big long passes. So he's a guy, he didn't get an offer. They didn't put out any offers yesterday, but Brandon Singleton is a guy you ought to keep an eye on. He impressed me yesterday. Then there was a linebacker from Carl Junction, Missouri. He's a big kid, 6'3", 228. I think Trey Biddy clocked him at a 4.54, and his official time from the coaches was a 4.57. So that's pretty impressive for a guy his size. He's a pretty cut-up guy. He's taking care of things in the weight room, obviously, but he plays at a little bitty school in southwest Missouri, probably not the most polished guy, or he's probably not facing a whole lot of quality competition, but he's a guy to keep an eye on, and it wouldn't surprise me if Arkansas, you know, keeps evaluating him and eventually offers him. But all in all, it was a pretty good camp. Ty Story, he threw it yesterday as well as I've ever seen him throw it. You know, you go out there and watch Ty, you're not blown away with his arm strength or velocity, but he puts it anywhere he wants to put it. And so I was impressed with him yesterday.
Would he be like a Matt Barkley then?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment, Matt. You know, you could stand out there 30 yards away from him and flip a quarter in the air, and he'll knock it down for you, but it might take it a second to get there, if you know what I mean. It's not –
No, he's just like a B-plus all the way. There's not that A arm or the A footwork or the A this, but he's got Bs everywhere is kind of what it sounds like.
Yeah, he's very well-rounded. He's like Rafe Peavy, you would expect him to have the smaller arm because he's a smaller guy. Rafe is about 5'11", 200. Ty Story is 6'3", 215. But Rafe actually has the better velocity, stronger arm, and all of this, but Ty Story, his accuracy, man, it's off the charts as far as I'm concerned.
Danny, more camps are coming up, correct?
Yeah, they'll get back at it tomorrow. Saturday is the specialist camp, So kickers and punters, and if you'll remember last year at this time, Cole Hedlund, the kicker they eventually signed, this is the camp they offered him at and got his commitment the same day. So you never know. I think they might take a punter on scholarship in this year's class. Of course, you're going to lose Sam Irwin Hill. He's been pretty good for them, you know. But got to find a replacement for him. It'll be interesting to see if they do offer a scholarship punter. But and then next, I guess Sunday morning, they start their three-day camp. That's a padded camp. You're going to have a lot of good kids coming to that. They'll take a day off on Wednesday and then get back at it next Thursday is another kind of a part two of the elite prospect camp. So they'll have some more, you know, top targets up here for that one.
And when is Will Gregg set to visit?
He will be here Sunday morning. KJ Hill and Will Gregg both are going to be up here Sunday. So, you know, it's just another unofficial visit. I don't expect those guys to get out there and run around and participate in the camp. I think they may go out there and do that, but I wouldn't expect it. They've kind of proven themselves enough now that they've kind of earned the status of just sitting back and watching. So I think Zach Rogers, the four-star commit down in Texas, is going to do the same thing. Ty Story, he's going out there every day and participating, though. So Will and KJ will definitely be up here Sunday.
1-800-477-1037, 433-1037, the number to call to be a part of Overtime. You can also send Keith Lee Service Company live fan feedback. Let's head to Jim in Conway. Jim, thanks for calling. Welcome to Overtime.
Hey, Trey, Matt. I called because the guy earlier had called about why does everybody love the Spurs so much. And I'm not sure if everybody necessarily really loves the Spurs that much. I'm a Celtics fan. And I've been a Celtics fan since I was a kid. I'm 45 years old now. But I think most basketball fans just have over the years of watching the Spurs play and their consistency just become not necessarily fans of them, but they just respect the way the Spurs play the game and have played the game for so long consistently that you just when they get to the finals, you're just kind of like, man, you know, just it's hard to root against them.
Well, what if it was Oklahoma City, Jim?
I feel the same way about Oklahoma City. I like the way they play the game.
I can understand.
And let's look at the Final Four this year. A lot of people said the best basketball was played by Wisconsin. They didn't have the best athletes, but they would make the extra pass. And that's kind of what the Spurs do. If you're a basketball fan, if I'm a high school basketball coach, an AAU basketball coach, I'm sitting down with my team and we're going to watch the Spurs play how they play. That's how basketball is supposed to be played.
Jim,
yeah, I agree. But yeah. I'm not a LeBron hater. In fact, I kind of like LeBron. I think he's an absolutely incredible athlete, best basketball player on the planet. But I just you know, as a basketball fan, I just really appreciate the way the Spurs play the game better.
Jim, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
All right.
Danny, offensive lineman Jalen Barnett on the hill today.
Yeah, he's a big-time offensive guard prospect out of Lawton, Oklahoma. He's a four-star. He's ranked in the top 125 in the country. Going back to that word elite, he's what you're looking for. This guy is as good as their gets in the nation right now. Alabama, Auburn, Oklahoma, Stanford are just a few of his offers, in addition to Arkansas, obviously. This is a kid that's been to our rivals' camps in Dallas the past 2 years. Every time I see him, I think the same thing about he and Josh Warboko, who is also from Oklahoma. I think those two guys really have a good chance of becoming All-American type players in college. You know, Barnett's a little bit smaller, about 6'3", 305, but there just aren't many kids out there that can move as well as he does, you know, for that size. You know, you think about the last couple of years, Sam Pittman, you just never know with Pittman. He might be able to pull this one off. I remember 2 years ago, all the national experts, they gave him no shot at getting Denver Kirkland or Dan Skipper, and he got them both. This past year, nobody gave him a chance at Brian Wallace and Frank Ragnow. He got them both. And then he snuck in Cameron Jefferson as a transfer before anybody even knew the kid was transferring. So you can never discount the Sam Pittman effect or Sam Pittman factor, I guess, if you will. So keep your eye on Jalen Barnett. I'm not expecting a commitment this weekend or anything like that, but, you know, it's good to have him on campus, and maybe later in the year you can sneak your way in there and get him.
And I just saw this, Blake Edens retweeting that of the ESPN 60 in the 2016 rankings, Malik Monk now at number 4.
I'm not surprised. I think we talk about him a lot on here, and he's well worth everything we have ever said about him. That kid, the more I watch his film and see him, the more impressed I am. He's probably the best we've produced in this state since Corliss. Matt, would you agree with that?
I'm telling you, I've seen the kid play one time, and this was maybe 2 years ago, and he's a one-and-done lottery pick. If he continues to, if he stays healthy and continues to get better, he's got a little Derek. I mean, first thing I thought was Derek Rose, and we saw what Derek Rose was able to do. I mean, he's a stud. I couldn't tell you the last player. You might be right with Corliss, Joe Johnson.
Joe would be in there.
Yeah, those two guys. But Malik's a little different. Joe is so smooth and fundamental. Malik is explosive, like a Derrick Rose, and can finish at the rim. It's been a while. I would like to see the other four players or three players that people are saying are better than him, because I don't think there is.
I can't disagree, Matt.
Let's head to Corndog. He's got a question for Danny. Corndog, welcome.
Hey, Danny. I just wanted to ask you, as far as it's nice that, you know, we're I think both on basketball and football, it seems like the caliber recruits that we're getting, or at least that we're offering, they're highly sought after by other schools that are, you know, in the SEC or on our level at least. And, you know, for so many years, I mean, that wasn't always the case. We were trying to find the hidden gems and trying to coach them up. Now, only time will tell, you know, whether we get some of those guys. But I would like to know your opinion on, as far as in football, what do you see our identity being on defense? And do you see, I mean, for so long we were known for that hard-hitting safety for so many years. And now on offense we've got the running back identity that we've had for a long time. We've kind of kept that up. What do you see the position on the defensive side of the ball that maybe we can get back to and have some identity there?
Trey, you want me to hold on?
Yeah, hold on, Danny. We'll get to that after the break, Corn Dog. Thanks
right,
a bunch.
Thanks.
And right. We've got a PK going on right now, and it is a
That's my team, Spain.
Spain takes a 1-0 lead on the Netherlands. Back with more overtime after this. Stay with us. Welcome back, Danny. You want to answer Corndog's question?
Yeah. As far as hidden gems, I think they're still trying to find those type of kids. They found a whole bunch of them here in the last couple of years. You know, they've been able to go out and find kids and evaluate them and get in there and offer these kids before everybody else finds out who they are. But that's kind of worked against them in a sense. You know, they're almost like they're too good at evaluations, because once they offer, you're starting to see Oklahoma and Alabama and Auburn jump on the same kids. And once they're in the mix, I mean, quite frankly, right now it's just hard for Arkansas to, you know, compete against those type of schools. A good example of that is last year, Demetrius Jackson, defensive end out of Florida. Randy Shannon goes down there to a screen game. Demetrius had 5 sacks in one half of play. Shannon offers him a scholarship, and eventually everybody in the world got on this kid. He turned into a 4-star prospect and eventually ended up in Miami. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Derek Graham last week, who visited up here. He's a linebacker out of Florida. I think I even said this last week. He reminds me of Demetrius Jackson, and you're kind of afraid he might blow up and get all these other offers. Well, he leaves Fayetteville and goes to Gainesville, Florida, and the Gators offer him. So you look at that now, it's probably unlikely that Arkansas will ever get him. But my point is, they're still trying to find those type of kids, but it's just getting harder and harder to sign those kids. Because after you find them, if you've made a good evaluation on them, chances are you're going to have a lot more. You're just opening the door for everybody else to come in and compete against you. And right now, you know, coming off of seven wins in the last 2 years, it's just really, really difficult for Arkansas. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they've recruited themselves into this mess, or another staff did, so they're going to have to recruit themselves out of it.
Danny, let's head to Jeff in Houston. Jeff, welcome to Overtime.
How y'all guys doing? I was just wondering about with Malik Monk. He would be the class of what?
16.
Okay. If y'all could just in a estimation, what do y'all think the percentages are if Mike Anderson's still here? And I know his brother, you know, he played football here. And then I've heard rumors about him leaving to go out of state to a prep school. What do y'all think the chances of him of coming to Arkansas?
If he leaves the state of Arkansas and goes to a prep school, I think that hurts us. I don't know what you think, Danny, is. And the last thing that we had heard was he might be going to a prep school next year, right?
Yeah, down in Florida.
And it's kind of to Danny's point right there. When you evaluate these kids and you offer them, but then if he goes to a Florida, you know, he's not an in-state guy anymore. And I know technically he is an in-state guy, but if he goes for 2 years and plays somewhere else, I think that hurts you. And in my experience, and Danny will know this better than I will, but my experience, my 4 years up there, half the kids in the state that get offered by Arkansas, there's no doubt in their mind they're going to Arkansas. But the other half of the kids, they're going to weigh their options, and they're not sold on Arkansas right away.
Yeah, you're a dying breed, Matt Jones. It's getting harder and harder to find, you know, your Bijan Jackson, Darren McFadden, Matt Jones, all these type of kids who, you know, they get that offer and it's pretty much done for them. I will say this, I totally agree with you. If Malik Monk steps foot out of this state to continue his high school education, good luck getting him back because, I mean, it's already as tough as it is. It's going to be really, really tough if he's not 30 miles away from your school. So I have heard that rumor. I've never heard any kind of confirmation on that. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But I don't give percentages on kids because I think it's absurd to think that we could put a number on anything a 17-year-old might be thinking. But right now I would say Arkansas sitting in a pretty good spot.
Okay.
Still really.
I was wanting to comment on the Spurs. I believe that the situation with them is that they're so unselfish. I think none of them guys on that team cares who scores the most points.
They don't. They just want to win.
Think about who do you have as the MVP right now. You don't really know
who
the MVP
is
would
could
be.
It be Kawhi?
Kawhi Leonard, I think, is leading the way.
The turning point would be when they've – to me, yeah, it would probably be Kawhi Leonard. Or second to him, I would say the one who's changed the game totally is Boris Diaw.
Yeah.
Diaw, yeah, but I don't think Diaw could win it, but – Kawhi Leonard, okay, let's say this next game, though, he only has 7 points.
Well, then who do you go with?
And you're not going to be surprised, though, if Kawhi only has seven points because of the way they play.
No. Danny, we've got another question from someone who just has stepped into the studio.
Well, first of all, big traffic backup. I played you off of it, David. Just got through from Morgan to Levy. They are sitting still. Probably
is that the bridge right there?
All the way from Morgan.
That starts where the construction, I guess.
But they're usually creeping along. But they're out of their trucks. They're out of their cars.
Oh, they're just sitting there.
Oh, they're just sitting there.
Well, how'd you play, though, golf today?
About the same way.
Just sitting there.
I should have known when I got out of my car this morning. I looked up and I looked at the paper. I was getting coffee. And it said it was Friday the 13th. Then I looked up and it was a full moon and somebody hit my car. I should have left my clubs in the car. But the thing on
someone hit your car?
It's fixed. The thing on San Antonio, I think if San Antonio was in Los Angeles or New York or Chicago or maybe
where they had the media scrutiny,
they're in flyover country.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even one of the biggest cities.
Well, unless you're Southwest. The best player the last 15 years is so his nickname is the Big Fundamental.
If Tim Duncan was playing in Los Angeles or New York, he would be recognized as one of the top 5 players of all time. Do you know he's second all time in NBA block shots? I just think that they're kind of an afterthought.
Well,
and you know, one more thing. The thing
he's first in playoff minutes played too.
You can relate to this, Matt. John Elway was hated. Larry Bird was hated. Tim Tebow was hated by a lot of people when he was a senior. Nolan Richardson said it best. When he started going to Rupp Arena and they would cheer for him and they didn't hate him anymore, that meant one thing. He wasn't beating them anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like it.
So when you're good, they love you or they hate you.
Tommy, you want to know about the star Cabot running back, correct?
Those guys in Cabot, that's just a system. They're great teams, and I know I heard calls to Rainwater Show yesterday. They just don't go on to do that. They're just a team. They're part of a system, a fundamental. And I think Marcus said yesterday they start them in the third grade and they play as a team all the way through the 12th grade.
That's what they do.
And Malham's got a system.
He does.
Danny, can you name the last Division I player to come out of Cabot? I can't.
Can't do. No,
I can't,
sir.
Do it. I can't think of anybody. The old joke was, and don't get mad, Cabot, because I got to come home in a minute, was they would graduate and get a scholarship to go to work at Knight's Grocery.
I can.
Who?
Adam Sternberg played basketball for Jerry Bridges, played at Arkansas State.
Okay, but still, I mean, household name. They just don't come out
of
Cabot.
No, they don't. And that's the thing. And that's basketball, though, not football.
True enough. Watch out for the traffic, though. And if you're driving down I-40 up near Dardanelle, watch out for my golf balls. They're still bouncing around.
Wait, you hit them from Dardanelle across the river to I-40?
You guys ever played that course?
Lose them? Yeah, I've played the Daly's course.
There's a couple of nasty holes. But
oh, you went down to Daly's course and played?
Yeah, we did the show up there this morning.
Awesome. Yeah. I played that course once with Daly, and there was a par 5, and I
a
hit a good
great
drive
views up there,
and had 3 hybrid, and then like a 7-iron in, and he had like driver 7-iron into the hole there. I mean, as far as he hits it, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
And number one, that first hole, he hits a 3-wood onto the green.
Yes, and he's got a couple of holes that he says are like 502 yards. They're like 900 yards.
Yeah, but also Lisa Cornwell with the Golf Channel was there.
Yes,
so
yes.
Look for the show with no name on the Golf Channel soon.
Nice.
She's a hottie.
Were they rolling when y'all were doing the show?
Yeah. She was real nice. Hot chick. I guess she did some kind of thing with RJ, which leads me to question her sanity.
Exactly.
Oh, cold-blooded. Happy Father's Day, Trey. Happy Father's Day, Joe. Matt, your day's coming, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
Happy Father's Day, Tommy.
Little pup.
We got Troop at the house.
Troop.
Hey, you know, when on Mother's Day, if you got a pet, you get the mom something. Do they do that on Father's Day?
No.
I think they should. I think Caroline should get you something that you and Troop can enjoy.
Caroline is going to see my sister for a baby shower. Yeah.
Danny, are you a father?
I'm not.
Okay.
He's got some dogs, though, too.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. Well, you know what? The great thing about dogs, they don't talk back.
There you go. And they're always happy to see you.
I got to go find my balls. Y'all have a great weekend.
All right,
Tommy. All right.
All right, watch out for the traffic. We'll do that. Still 1-0, Spain over the Netherlands.
Who was the penalty kick, Joe? Who hit the penalty kick?
I don't know who hit it. And I thought there was another goal there, but they disallowed it. No, he just missed. It was wide.
Got it. Yep. Danny, every time there's a goal in the World Cup while overtime is on the air, we are going to play the goal sounder.
I'm all for it.
Danny,
so
you got a team?
That's why we had to kind of get the goal sounder in while ago during the PK.
Danny, do you got a World Cup team?
I have no idea. I didn't even know it was being played, man.
Are you kidding?
There you go. Because he's busy working.
He's busy following American football instead of football.
There you go. NFL Network, that's all I watch.
Well, I don't blame you. That's a pretty good network to watch. And so another camp starting this weekend, and then the one that starts Sunday goes for 3 days.
Yeah, 3-day camp. It's going to be padded, so that's always a plus, you know, to see those kids get out there and hit a little bit. You find out a little bit more about them when they've got pads on. You know, it's great to see them out there in shorts and helmets and whatnot, but once they put that pads on, it gets real, you know, especially for the offensive and defensive linemen. You can kind of separate some of those guys, but should be a fun camp.